affected many, many more people. All right, let's go further. Targum
says, Vayitzav Paro, what happened over here? Ta'unkulis. Vayitzav Paro, ufakid Paro, l'chol amei l'meimor, kol bro di yisilid, any son that is born, li hu do'ei. And this is an amazing, amazing Targum. And that means any boy that is born to the Jews, where does it say that in the Pasuk? Nowhere. All it says is, Kolabein Hayilod, and we, in fact, we'll see in a moment, but he's the Targum injects into the Pasuk a Chiddush Neira. This decree was only for the Jews. A boy that is born to a non-Jew, to an Mitzri, does not need to be killed. Only the Jews, only the Jewish boys. V'cholabas tichayun, every young girl shall live. Okay, right, so this is the Targum again, it's in the Chamol Targum. Uvakil faro l'chol amel l'meimor kol brod di yisilid li hu do'ei. Benahara termune, he shall be thrown, cast into the Nile. The cholbrato te kaimun shall be let to live. Rashi says the cholamo af alehem gazar. Okay, so this is an outright declaration of war. This is a declaration of war, and as we always say, this is a proof, smoking gun proof, that Rashi's commentary is a direct attack on Unklus. Unklus,
don't agree.
Why not?
Rashi says af.
Okay, af.
So Rashi is saying Unklus is right, but also he added it for the Israel people. The question is, why does the Targum say it this way if it doesn't say it in the Pasuk?
They're all right. Okay. So Ayitzav Paro l'chol amo lemor, to his entire nation, kol habein hayilod, only among the Jews, all of the nation shall go search from house to house any Jewish woman who gives birth. Search. You find that when Moshe was born, v'lo yochlo oid lahatz pinoy. Right? Why not? Because the Amoy, the nation, the Egyptians, were doing the searching. They weren't affected by this. It was good fun for them. They could have all the babies they want. Who cares? But the Jews, it was hide and seek. Okay? I hear what you're saying, Mayor, but I think over here Rashi saw this Targum, Lihudoe, the decree was only on the Egyptians and not on them. And then Rashi says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Targum. Af aleihem gazar. Yoim shenoilad Moshe amrulo itzdagnine itzdagninov. Paro stargazers. They said to Paro, Hayoim, today we see in the stars, Noilad Moshion, their savior. Ve'ein onu yoidim im mi Mitzrayim, im mi Yisrael. Ve'roin onu shesoifa lilkos b'mayim. We see in the stars that his end will come through water. Le'fichach, gazar oisa hayoim af al ha-Mitzrayim. Even on the Egyptians. No, on that day, even on the Egyptians. Shenemar kolabein ha-Yiloid. Everyone, not like the Targum, they did not know that Moshe was destined to die through the Mei Meriva when he would hit the rock instead of speak to the rock. So here you have an
example. The Ramban is in agreement with the Targum.
Only on the Jews.
Right. He told the Egyptians they should go after the Jewish
people. The Jewish people.
That's
okay.
That's what the Ramban was.
And obviously, right. Obviously, Rashi is coming to disagree with who? The Targum came first. The Targum came first. Rashi read the Targum. That's what Rashi did, because Rashi half the time says, Ketargumoy, not like the Targum. Rashi read the Targum. And Rashi over here, he's not coming to explain all the other words in the Pasuk. He's coming to come and to focus on things that bothered him in the Targum. Okay, next. This was easy, this Pasuk.
No, also, Rashi is only saying that the gzeira on everybody was only for one day. The gzeira on the Jews who was born.
Oh, so you're reading into Rashi something that is possibly true, but not necessarily. You're reading on that day, meaning on that day only. But after that day was over, then it was murdered. Is that really what it says? Is that really what the argument says? Rashi says no, from that day onward. The ain on the yodim mishum gozar also hayom
afal the
So you're being a daik that it was only the gezera was only for that day. The word also hayom is
the mitzvah.
I'm not so sure that's what it means. I hear what you're saying. You have to be like
Gozar
Oisayom Afal Mesim Shemachomilo, the Loinemar Hayilo Leivrim, the Hemlo Hoyodim. So, what do you mean further? The question is, what's going to be what's.
He didn't say that you should put them the first day, he didn't say Ayilud Leivrim.
It was anything that would be born Mikanu Lahaba.
Right. No. Rashi is saying that the Pasuk is talking about that one.
You're right, it's the beginning of the Pasuk, Rashi. Hayoim noilad Moshion. Hayoim.
Right.
Okay, that's the Raya. On that day. But if that's the case, if it's Hayoim, it's not just that, it's not only that day for the Mitzrayim, it's that day for the Jews also. If Hayoim, this day.
That day, any boy that was born was killed.
That day, any boy that was born that was killed that day. Fine, for who? Everyone.
For everyone.
And that means tomorrow, it's over.
Tomorrow, the mitzvah didn't apply to the mitzvah. It only applied to the Jews.
Why should it apply to the Jews? If the whole purpose.
Anti-Semitism works. Anti-Semitism applies only to the Jews.
I'm not so sure. It sounds like when they went, they got to Moshe Rabbeinu. People, the reason why they were looking for people because people were born, and they were hidden, so they were able to determine if you have an infant baby and it was not accounted for. We have to assume it was born on that Oso Hayoim. It sounds like the Gzera for everyone was that day. That day, both.
And they were looking for other babies for up to 3 months.
Right. They were looking, everyone had to be recorded. Everyone, but that doesn't stem with Rashi, because Rashi later on says that the reason why they didn't come for until then, there are two machlokes in the Gemara. Why v'lo yochlo oid lahatz pinoy? According to one interpretation, she was 6 months pregnant,
right.
And they had records. Today is 9 months, we're coming looking for you. Now, if you learn like that, then it's not all. You can say you can understand that story later on took place on this day. If, when you read Chumash at face value, it sounds like this day happened, and now let's go fast forward 3 months. 3 months, they were coming and looking around for 3 months old babies who were born 3 months ago. Not necessarily. Maybe the story of Moshe Rabbeinu v'lo yochlo lahatz bin Moshe already was born 3 months before Moshe was born on that day, and okay, I don't know. This is something I have to think about. Think about how to work out all the dates and all the different opinions. I do not know. This seems to be over my head. I don't know. Making a good point. May he disappeared now. What happened to you? All of a sudden he went missing. Pasuk Aleph. Vayelechish. Now we come to Perek Beis. Vayelechish mi-beis levi kachas pas levi. An ish went from the beis levi vayikach and he took his pas levi anonymous. Two anonymous people, even though we know the anonymous people are not so anonymous. One was, we have to talk once in a while. Shalom aleichem. We got a shmooze one day, okay? Good to see you. Vayelechish mi-beis levi kachas pas levi. Who are the two anonymous people? Who are they? They are Yocheved and Amram. Why are they anonymous? Everyone knows that from Rav Moshe. Any two people can be the parents of the next Gadol Hadar. Right? As a famous word. Okay. Vayelech yeshu beisevi kachas bas levi. First in the Targum, where it says, Targum unkelis, va'azal gavam b'de beis levi unisif, and he married Yos bas levi. He married and married her. This was a second marriage. He was machzir girushasai. By the way, did Yocheved, did she remarry someone else in between? So the Medrash says she did. Amram divorced her, and Yocheved went and she married someone else and had a baby. Who had? She had Eldad Umedad. Some learn in the Medrash, a fascinating Medrash, that Eldad Umedad was Moshe Rabbeinu's half-brother. They were brother from the mother. Because after Amram divorced
Yocheved. Yocheved went to marry another man. And they had, she had children. Eldad Umedad. And then, I don't know what happened to that marriage. That marriage dissolved. And then she once again was single. And then Moshe, then Yocheved gave Musar to her father. Your gezer is worse than Paro. And Levi took back Yocheved. What's the obvious problem with doing that? That's Keneged Kol HaTorah Kula. The Torah says that a person is not allowed to marry Machzer Girusha. So if she, in the meantime, in the middle, went and married somebody else. A person that's
Machzer. You just kill her, but the Ramban says different.
The Ramban says, what does Ramban say?
I'm quoting from the Ramban. He said, it was a one marriage. He doesn't know that she remarried.
Okay.
Even though he admits that the Gemara says differently, he says he holds a plain pshat to the pasuk. It was the beginning of the marriage, since the words vayikach, that's what it says, right? Vayikach is halachically the initial marriage, not that he took back a wife who wanted separated.
Fascinating.
So the word vayikach, according to Ramban, means...
Stop, he married her. Married. Fascinating. Okay. So there was never a divorce whatsoever. And certainly, not only is the Ramban saying that she did not marry someone else in the middle, he's saying that he never even divorced her. Correct?
That is correct.
Okay?
That is correct.
About Mitzvah?
Okay.
That's why Miriam and Aharon came before the Gezerah of Paro, because the Gezerah of killing the Jewish babies was not in effect. And after that, Paro made the Gezerah. This is according to Ramban. I know you don't like when you mention Ramban, Rabbi, so I don't do it too much. But I'm reading from the Ramban. And then, as I told you, his pshat is that the Gezerah is only to the Jewish children. Had nothing to do
okay,
with
that was before. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Gvaldik. I in Parma, the Ramban is Kodesh Kodashim. I mean, the Ramban, all of them, many of the Yisodos of Emunah come from the Ramban. Ramban doesn't need money. 2 cents. Okay. We just happen to be learning here, Chumash, Rashi, and Unkelis. No offense to Ramban. Chas v'shalom. Okay.
Oh, I don't interrupt with the Ramban.
Okay. You disappear. You just disappear out of Zoya. You became invisible. Vaita. So she skipped the Rashi. Rashi. Vayelech ish v'yislevi kachavis v'kachas v'yislevi parush hoyu b'menu m'bnei gzeres paro. According to Rashi, we're reading the Rashi. Rashi says that Levi was parush hoyu m'menu. What does that mean, parush? Does that mean divorced? It doesn't say that he mamsh divorced her, Rashi. Rashi just says that he was parush hoyu m'menu m'bnei gzeres paro. And he took her back. He took her back. Doesn't say that he remarried her. No, it does say likuchin sheniyim. Okay, what does that mean exactly? He made with her a second acquisition. The afhi nefcha lios nara, and Yocheved rejuvenated into a state of a nara, of a young woman. Uvas kufla mitshana haisa, and Yocheved at this time was 130 years old. Shenolda bevoyam lemitzrayim ben hachomer. She was born to her parents, Levi. She was okay. Who was the mother of Yocheved? I don't remember. Maybe Levi. I don't remember. Ubas kuf la mitshana chaisa shenolda bevoyam lemitzrayim ben hachomer. Umosayim v'eser nishtahu sham, and they remained there for 210 years in Egypt. So 210 minus 130 is 80 years. So she was 80 years old, and she was rejuvenated to a young woman, to the body of a young woman. They were there for 210 years. When Moshe left, Moshe was 80 years old. She was 130 years old. In 80 years, I'm sorry, 80 means 80 years until they left. The Koire Oisa, she is called Bas Levi. Yocheved's father was Levi, and she's called Bas Levi, according to Rashi, to indicate that she was rejuvenated to a youthful person, and she was able to have children at this age. Okay, a fascinating Rashi to tell us the story of Yocheved. Yocheved was born by Nachoimos, and she was now 130 years old when she married Levi a second time. She married Amram for a second time. Amram, according to Rashi, they were married when they were younger, and Amram separated himself from her. It's Perisha Himenu because of the Gzera of Paro, called Abein Hayilon Hayoret Hashlichu, and because of the story that we know of Miriam and Aaron. Really, Miriam said to her father, you are worse than Paro. Paro only made a gzera on the males, and your gzera is even on the females. And therefore, you are worse than Paro. And he listened to her Musa, and he took back her mother, Yocheved, and she was 130 years at this time. The number 130 years, where else do you have that number? This is just a side point. Where else do you have the number 130? You have that prisha of Adam and Chava. It says, Beferish Nemedrish, that after the Chet Eitz Hadas, Adam was poiresh from Chava for 130 years. 130 years, he was poiresh from Chava. He had nothing to do with her. And during those 130 years, because it is not healthy for a man to be without a woman, he had, so it says in the Medrash, he had bodily emissions, which today would be considered the worst avera you can possibly do in this world. And from those emissions, he created demons, shedim, ruchois, koichois of tumah. And during those 130 years, also, Adam HaRishon fasted. The first recorded fast day is the 130 years that Adam was Pirish from Chava. There's always significance to knowing where the Haskalah. When was the first time we find in the Torah a person fasting for committing an Avera? Try to find it. Try to find it somewhere in the Pasuk. I mean, there must be a Pasuk somewhere that tells us that the people fasted. Okay, so this is not in the Pasuk. This is only in the Medrash. And the Medrash says that during those 130 years, Adam HaRishon, he was fasting. And does it mean he fasted every single day? I have no idea. But it says that's when fasting was invented. This technique of attempting to achieve atonement through fasting and denying yourself the pleasure of food was invented by Adam HaRishon during those 130 years that he was poiresh from Chava. So it was 130 years of doing teshuvah, and then it culminated with Adam HaRishon taking back Chava as his wife. He took her back. Yes.
So the Rashi at the end seems to say at the age of 130 she gave birth and it was a big deal. What about the fact that Aharon, Moshe's older brother, by 3 years, so she gave birth to Aharon when she was 127. So what's the chiddush is what? That she became youthful between 127 and 130? And if you go back, Miriam was even a little bit older. So what's the chiddush with Moshe at 130?
You're asking such a good question. You're asking an amazing, amazing question. You know something? You really got me. This question, Mr. Rapport, you're on the ball. You're asking an amazing question. Rashi is
making the topic question.
According
to the Medrash, she had two kids while she was Irish. Elder Maidad.
Okay, that's another question that we mentioned before. That's a bigger question. How was she allowed? How was Moshe allowed to take her back? If a person divorces a woman and she marries another man, it is categorically forbidden for the first husband.
This is before Matan Torah.
All right, okay, fine. All right, okay, that's the answer to every question. It's like COVID. The answer to every question is COVID. The answer to every question is before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, the answer to every question.
She had four kids before Moshe.
You're right. So Mr. Rappaport's asking a bomb question. He's saying the Torah of Rashi is here making a big deal. She's 130 years old. The miracle of miracles, she became a Nara. Wow. She's a Nara. She's like an 18-year-old girl. And now she's able to have children, and she had Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, excuse me, how old is Aaron? Aaron is 3 years older than Moshe. How old is Miriam? Miriam is the same range. I don't know the exact numbers. And so Deva, how old was Miriam? How old was Miriam when she had Aaron? 127. Oh, it's not a big deal to have a child when you're 127 years old. How old was Sarah when she had Yitzchak? She was 90 years old. That was a big deal. So how come he was making a big deal about Moshe Rabbeinu and just overlooking the miracle of having Aaron and Miriam? What happened to Aaron and Miriam? They were also miraculously born. Mr. Rappaport, what?
I would think the answer is, it's not so kosher. First of all, the Ramban has a shita that...
They were all born afterwards.
No, the Ramban has a shita. Why was the miracle of Sarah giving birth to Yitzhak publicized in the Torah? Whereas here... You don't see the public saying, oh, she was 130. Why doesn't the Torah itself get its kavaldic? She was 130, she had a child. So Ramban has a shita that something that's said through Nevuah directly, either from a Kodesh Baruch Hu or from a Malach, is publicized. So if we go back and look at the birth of Yitzhak, the Malach came and told Avraham and Yitzhak, sorry, you're going to have a child. So here we don't publicize it. But I think... I may be wrong, I never saw it, but Seichel would tell me this is the birth of the Goel Yisrael. Aharon Einochanami was a Navi, he led the Jews while Moshe was away for all those years. He was away never for 40 years, for all those years. When he left, when he ran away. So Moshe is the Goel. The Chiddush is that from this birth came the Goel Yisrael, and it came later. The only thing I can think of.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying a lot of different ideas over there. I hear. The question is a fantastic question. There are certain things that come to mind, but I want to go right. We have to really cover some ground over here. I hear what you're saying. Maybe we'll talk about this, and maybe on Friday we'll talk about this. We'll see. Excellent question. Really, really like that question. Let's go further. They were no longer able to hide him. The word is a good question. So what happened? They took for him. She took for him. Who's she? The tikach is lashon nekeva, feminine. Who took? Someone took. Who took? The mother, Yocheved Miriam. Let's see. A tevas, a box of gome. What is gome? Over here in the English, it says a wicker basket. How did the English know that? We'll see in a second. Vatachmira, she smeared it. Over here in the English, it says caulked. What does that mean? They caulked it? I'm not so sure I understand what that word means over here in this context. Bachemar. Now, they have over here a very hard word, which I don't even know how to pronounce. Bitumen. I don't know what that word is. Uvazofes, pitch. I don't even know what that is either. You say the word a million times, but who knows what pitch really is. Vatasim asayeled, and they put this little baby Moshe Rabbeinu into this box, into this teva, that's made from goyme, that has been smeared with two ingredients, chimor and zefes. So how many different items do we have over here? We have really four items. We have the shape of a box, and number two, it's made from a unique material called goyme. Number three, it has been covered with two items called chimor and zefes. There's an enormous amount of symbolism over here in the four different items that are sheltering Moshe Rabbeinu from the Mayim. Four different items, each one is a volume in and of itself. Further. She put the baby inside the yeled. Moshe over here is called the yeled. Okay, and then it says over here, Vatosem basuf. Where was he? Put his friend in the suf. What's the suf? The reeds. Asfas hayor along the edge of the yor, which we refer to as the Nile. A lot going on here. Targum. Targum pasagimel. Targum says, Velo yichelas. They were unable. Oid any longer. Now here comes a really good word. Okay, what is the translation of the word hatzifinoi? In the English, they use the word hide. What does it say in the Targum? Le'at maruse. What does that word mean? Hatmana. Hilcha Shabbos. In Hilcha Shabbos, there's a whole parak called Hatoymen. Hatmana. To insulate hot food for Shabbos. There are permissible methods of insulation and there are forbidden methods of insulation. What is the goal of hatmana? So two different types. There's a hatmana that's moisef hevel and there's a hatmana that just preserves the heat. But the word hatmana means preservation. It doesn't mean hide. See, I told you, this English, by the way, this English is zero. I mean, zero, chas shalom, I'm not coming to criticize the English. We're just using the English as a trigger to get a little bit of an appreciation of what it says in the Targum, because probably most of us, when we translate the Pasuk in our minds, we come very close to what it says here in this English translation, which is highly, highly inaccurate. But it's a good start because most of us, I can't say I am extremely inaccurate in understanding anything. And here where it says the word hatspinoi, and we like to assume the word hatspinoi means to hide, right? They can no longer hide Moshe. Along comes the Targum, and he says something very shocking, very, very deep, very profound. V'lo yichelas od le'atma ruse. Le'atma ruse doesn't mean to hide. It means to preserve. They were no longer able to preserve him. Moshe didn't, there's a very big difference between hiding and preservation. If you want to hide, they can't hide the person. Okay, we can't hide him. So let's say he's exposed. Okay, so somebody else will take him. They will reveal him and he will be unhidden and someone will take him and they'll... But he will not be the consequence of not being able to hide does not mean that he'll still be preserved. The only difference is he will be preserved under the authority of somebody else, not us. No, that's not what it says here. It says that Moshe's neshama was in danger of being contaminated, of being soiled, of being damaged, and they're trying to preserve him. They're not trying to hide him. If he will be exposed, he's not going to be preserved. He will be damaged. They'll either kill him, or they will kidnap him and send him to a missionary, and he'll become contaminated. It's an entirely different connotation. They saw that they have in their possession something that is tov. Okay? You know, did I skip a pasuk? How come no one caught me? No one stopped me. No one stopped me over here. You didn't stop me over here. Okay, we'll have to go back to that pasuk in a second. I skipped the whole pasuk here. Where are my gaboyim here? Mayor, what happened to you, Mayor? You let me skip a whole pasuk. In any event, let's just keep to this pasuk for right now.
Which one did you skip?
I skip pasuk beis. Okay, we'll come back. That's right over here. Let's just finish this pasuk. The word hatspinoi, again, we on our own would probably have sympathy for this English inaccurate translation of hide, but that is not what it says in the Targum. The Targum says the word means hatmana. Hatmana is not to hide. Hatmana means to preserve. To preserve his toiv. Vatera oisoi ki toiv hu. Moshe was producing.
What does preserve mean? I mean, to keep him, have the refrigerator or?
His sanctity. The pasuk says ki toiv hu. The Torah told us. In the previous pasuk, it says Vatera oisoi ki toiv hu. Moshe was born with a midah, with an attribute of toiv. That toiv is delicate. That toiv needs a very delicate preservation. It needs an environment that can properly preserve the toiv. And they were no longer able to provide for Moshe Rabbeinu an environment that would preserve the toiv. It doesn't say hide, because hide just means I want to keep it in my possession. If somebody finds it, so they'll take it. But the toiv will not be disturbed. The toiv will be preserved. No, that's not what the Targum says. The Targum says the problem of Moshe being found is that the toiv of Moshe will be lost. Let's go further. Back to the Targum.
Fragile?
What?
Fragile,
yeah. Because what is the toiv? The toiv in the smala kolabayis oira, kedusha. Sanctity is the most fragile item in this world. You send a package, handle with care. Kedusha is extremely sensitive to any slight degree of contamination. A person looks somewhere, he sees the wrong thing, he does the wrong thing. A little small deviation of sanctity can damage an enormous amount of kedusha. Kedusha is extremely sensitive. Moshe was born. Egypt was the Erev HaSaaretz, allowing Moshe to go out into the street and being exposed to who knows what at a tender young age of a one day old can be detrimental to his sanctity. And they had to preserve him in an environment, a proper environment. 3 months passed and they realized no longer do they able to have that ability to do so. So they send him down the river. What's that going to do? I guess they put him in the hands of Hashem. Hashem, here we can't preserve the toiv. You'll preserve the toiv. You will preserve it in a better way. Let's see over here, Nachamol. What time is it, by the way? We don't even have a clock over here. Over here, it's, oh my gosh. It's 8:03. Okay, let's finish up this over here. This Targum over here. I lost, let's go back to the Targum. What time over here? What happened to my Targum? Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay. They put him in a box of gomer. They covered him. Okay, now this is a very different word. Vechaposa is not what the simple translation. We like to translate it, vatachmura means to smear. It sounds like you have peanut butter and you smear the exterior with some type of a paste. That's not what the Targum says. The Targum says they put on top of this box a chuppah. They made like a canopy, a wedding canopy. Okay, there was no putty. There was no peanut butter here. This was a chuppah. They made some type of make-believe wedding canopy. Uve zifta. And Zephes, I guess that they did smear, and doesn't even say, Vishavias ba yos ravya, and they put into this box, yos ravya, this young man. The ravya is the translation for the yeled. Okay, was Moshe anar, or was Moshe a yeled? We have a stira. Over here it says, Vatosim bas hayeled, and when Bas Paro later hears him, it says, there she calls him anar. So what is he? Is Moshe a yeled? Or is he a nar? Here he's called the Bain. Vatar ha'isha vateled Bain. He's called a Bain. And then it calls him a yeled. And then when Paro goes out, Paro goes out, vateled bas paro l'yuchosan v'anir v'ateres ha'teva v'atishach ha'sma v'tikochecha v'atishach ha'taka here says yeled. He's called a yeled and a nar. So Moshe is a man of many names. Many names even before he got his name. Even before he got the 10 names from Simchas Torah, he's still called over here already many, many names. Okay, let's go to Shrinja Tos over here. She was unable to hide him. Ravya. Okay, the word Ravya is, keep in mind, that word is for the yeled. Vishavisei be-ya-ara. She put him in the Yara. I know what Yara means. I guess that means the Suf. Al on Kaif Nara, the edge, the Kaif, then the Sfas called it the Kaif. Rashi, very quickly, we have to stop. We're out of time over here. All right, there's too much Rashi for us to do now. We're not going to have time. It's too late. Over time. All right, by side. That's what it sounds like to me. A Yar. So he's translating a forest, the Suf. The Suf means the forest of the river, the reeds, where the reeds. The reeds grow? I don't know. Okay,
why
side,
can't Yara be part of Yar
a little river, a tributary.
That's what you want to say it means? It could be.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't have here with me. I don't have here with me the mat. Sorry, I have it in the shul. I didn't bring it. I don't have it over here. All right, maybe tomorrow I'll go look up more.
We'll have to do a redo.
Okay, Rabbi Isai, thank you so, so much for coming. It's really very meaningful to share to me, and have a wonderful night, Rabbi Isai.
Shkoyach, it's very important. We had a big crowd tonight.
Wow.
No, we had 8 people.
Unbelievable.
Okay, good night.
Unbelievable, Shkoyach. Okay.
Maybe you have to move it over to Young Israel.
I'm here in Young Israel now.
Okay, that's why you had a big crowd.
Melamed Shaham Mokrim Goyrim.
That's right.
Okay, be well, everyone. Thank you for coming.
Maybe you have a big crowd too.
Yeah, you wish.
You wish. Why I wish?
Okay. Okay, Zaygazink. Yeah.
Did you know that I just figured out today, Yair Lapid, first wife, was her great